its current state on WKAR. Reports, predictions, and warnings of climate change are hard to avoid these days. But just how are Americans processing all of this news? And what do we really think about climate change and our environment? Well, MSU alum and director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication, Anthony Lizarowitz, explores those questions in his research. He'll be giving the lecture on Climate Change in the American Mind. That's the name of the lecture, Climate Change in the American Mind, this Friday here in East Lansing, and he joins us now by phone. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to Current State.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So talk to us about this. You get to study Americans' perceptions about climate change. What have you learned?
Oh, that's right. And so basically, one of the most important things we've learned, of course, is that while we talk about the American public, there really is no such thing. And in our work for the issue of climate change, we've identified what we call global warming six Americas, that basically you can take the American public and divide them into six very different types of people that each respond to this issue in very different ways. And that's really important for helping to understand why this issue is responded to in the way that it is, with some people who are deeply engaged, very concerned about the issue, others who are very kind of apathetic and not really sure what's going on, and then others that are just dismissive of the issue entirely.
So six different attitudes, you're saying?
Six different types of Americans, essentially.
Okay. Are there any things that all these groups have in common? Is there anything they agree on?
When it comes to the issue of climate change, not really. You see the wide variety. So at one end of the spectrum, we have a group we call the alarmed, who are people who are convinced it's happening, human-caused, think it's a serious and very urgent problem. And at the other end of the spectrum, we have a group that we do call the dismissive. And they are convinced equally that it is not happening, that it's not human-caused, that it's not a serious problem. And many, in fact, think it's a conspiracy. They say it's a hoax or it's scientists making up data. It's a UN plot to take away American sovereignty and many other such beliefs. So there's not a whole lot of common ground, at least in the way that they talk about climate change.
Are there geographical dynamics in play here? I mean, can you generalize about, say, Midwestern attitudes toward climate change?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, what we find is that these six different types of Americans are everywhere in the country. So you'll find all six groups in Topeka. You'll find all six groups in San Francisco. You'll find all six groups in Michigan. But they'll be in different proportions. So, for instance, in the Midwest, we may find more in the middle groups that are what we call cautious or concerned. You know, think that, yeah, this is probably happening, but are still trying to figure out what this is. Are humans really responsible? How serious of a problem is it? Whereas, say, in California, you'll find many more of the group that we call the alarmed. And then, of course, in some states like Oklahoma or Texas, you'll see a higher proportion of the dismissive. But again, you'll find all six groups in all of these different parts of the country.
Nationwide, Anthony, do the percentages in each of these six groups change much over time? Do you measure them often?
We do. We conduct national surveys twice a year, and we've been tracking these six different groups since 2008. And yes, there have been some changes over time. Basically, and this is beyond the six groups, just the broader trends. Basically, 2007 was kind of a high water mark for public engagement with the issue of climate change. And since then, we saw a pretty dramatic decline in public beliefs about climate change, concerns about climate change, that kind of bottomed out in 2010, and then since then have been coming back up, not quite back up to the level of where they were in 2007, but on the way back up.
I'm flashing on the Al Gore movie, An Inconvenient Truth. Did that have anything to do with the high water mark being in 2007?
It was part of that time period. So 2004, 5, 6, and 7 was kind of this ramp-up period, and yes, Inconvenient Truth was part of that, but there was a major report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. There was a Nobel Prize given to that body of scientists as well as to Al Gore. There was the Academy Awards. You had Arnold Schwarzenegger out in California taking pioneering action and kind of thumbing his nose at the Bush administration. You had a lot of things happening in that time period, and it all kind of crested in 2007.
We're talking with Anthony Lizarowitz, who is the director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication. How could your findings be used to help scientists better communicate climate change information to the public? Is there a takeaway there?
There is. So one of the things that we spend a lot of time looking at is what do Americans really understand and misunderstand about the causes, the consequences, and the potential solutions to climate change. So there's lots there in terms of helping people better understand just what are the basic facts of this issue. But one of the most important things that we've learned along the way is that currently only about 4 in 10 Americans understand that over 97% of climate scientists agree that climate change is happening and human-caused. And this is a really important misunderstanding that, in fact, most people don't understand that. In fact, the scientific community, just like the medical community, has long ago been convinced that smoking causes all sorts of negative health implications. Likewise, the climate science community is overwhelmingly convinced that this is happening in human-caused and will have a whole range of serious consequences, both now and in the future. And so that misperception of what the experts actually think turns out to be a highly consequential misperception. And it's really important that the scientific community do what it can to help people understand those basic facts.
Why does public opinion matter as part of the bigger picture?
Oh, Americans, of course, play a hugely important role in this in lots of different ways. I mean, first of all, we all are part of this system. We all use and conserve energy, both at home and on the road. Secondly, we all consume energy. We all consume certain products and services that have all kinds of consequences for how much carbon emissions are ultimately emitted. There's the way that we talk about this issue and the way that it either becomes a national priority or, as it currently is, something we don't talk about very much. And then last but certainly not least is the role that Americans play as active citizens. Both supporting policies that will be needed to be implemented, but also being willing to vote for leaders who are going to take those actions. And then even beyond that, some citizens actually becoming active citizens, using the tools of democracy to actually demand change from the political system. So in all of those ways, Americans play a really important role in addressing this broad problem.
You explained that the 6 different attitudes range from alarmed on one extreme to dismissive on the others. Just for the sake of completeness here, could you go through the other 4?
Sure.
Do you have one word descriptions of each of the other categories like that?
Yeah.
What are they?
So the first group, again, is the alarmed. That's about 16%. Then a group we call the concerned. That's about 26%. Then a group we call the cautious, about 25%, and they're kind of sitting on the fence, not really sure is it happening or not, or human or natural, still making up their mind. A group we call the disengaged, 5%. A group we call the doubtful, 15%. And then last but not least is the group, the dismissive, who are about 13% of the country.
Okay. Very interesting. And you conduct research twice a year on this?
That's right. We conduct 2 nationally representative surveys a year, one in the fall and one in the spring. And in fact, we'll have our latest results within the next few weeks.
Is it fair to say that views, political views, become a part of people's identities, their personalities, and that people resist new information that might threaten that identity? I mean, you would seem to have a unique angle on that dynamic. Is there something to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do, in fact, find that, and there's a broader psychological principle called motivated reasoning, that when people have deeply held, strongly held, emotionally held, and related to their identity, views about a particular issue, they become very prone to basically looking for any evidence that basically reinforces what they already believe, or ignoring or discounting any evidence that seems to contradict what they already believe. And we know that this happens certainly at both ends of the spectrum of these global warming 6 Americas. So just to give you 2 quick examples, and that's the weather. When a tornado takes apart, you know, Joplin, Missouri, as in a few years ago, we heard some people in the alarm category saying, aha, look, there's global warming, when actually there's no known scientific link right now between climate change and tornadoes. Plenty of links between other extreme events like droughts and heat waves and so on, but not tornadoes. But on the flip side, you had major snowstorms like Snowmageddon and Snowpocalypse a few years ago, and you had people on the dismissive side who would say, aha, look, there's no global warming because there was a big snowstorm. Well, that's actually wrong, too, because, of course, there is no inherent contradiction between climate change and large snowstorms. That's entirely consistent with the basic phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they jump on that to say, aha, that proves what I believe. So we do see that process happening at the extremes, but it's the groups in the middle who are the vast majority who are actually still open, still trying to learn what is this and what does it mean for me.
Very interesting stuff. I'm reminded of the description of why people expose themselves to the media they expose themselves to, and it's affirmation versus information. People gravitate to media in order to have their own views really affirmed rather than to be exposed to different points of view. This is the motivated reasoning you're talking about.
Well, we study media as well, and you do see that phenomenon, this kind of echo chamber effect. But there are also plenty of other sources of information where people do come with an open mind. I assume that this program itself is one of those places where people come to actually learn about important and often controversial issues happening in the state of Michigan and come to it with an open mind. So I think we do have those opportunities, but sometimes we have to look for them.
Well, we certainly try, Anthony. We want to thank our guest, Anthony Leiserwitz. Anthony is coming to East Lansing to talk more about what we've been talking about here today. He is the director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication. Anthony, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This environmental segment of Current State is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. For more news of the Great Lakes environment, you can check out greatlakesecho.org.